Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the Omega Leadership Series, where every week we come together to talk about the Omega Leader that Lori Beth Jones has been writing about, coined, captured for over a decade now, using the principles and leadership styles of the Omega Leader, known better as Jesus Christ himself. So this week we're here again to talk about how the Omega Leader takes both the alpha and the beta styles of management and adds the Omega principles in order to lead, model, and encourage as Jesus led, managed, and developed his team. And so this evening we are here in the studio again. We have with us Lori Beth Jones herself sitting here at the table. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we also have with us Vicki Arteaga representing the business pillar. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's good to be here, too.
And somewhere en route from the educational realm, we have Elisa Holston, who may join us in a little while, but she is absent at the moment. And we are just excited that you're here. We have just finished a long stretch since May the 4th in the launch of Lori's latest book, Jesus Career Counselor, as our topic of discussion. And we are now moving into a series that we are actually working on, a leadership series to help leaders develop teams, individuals, and even look at their own styles of leadership. And this week we will be bringing forth with Lori Beth the principles out of her book, Jesus in Blue Jeans, and looking at the leader and the topic of spiritual formation. This week's topic is under the principle of poise and how Jesus found common ground as a way to demonstrate the characteristics of poise as a leader. So with that introduction, we're excited, Lori, that we are heading into this series again and just beginning to open and really find out how to create this model the best way that we can using work that you have already put in place to share with millions of folks that are listening and reading your material. So open us up tonight with what it meant for Jesus to create common ground. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the section, I believe, is poise. And the opening story in the book, as I recall, is a friend of mine, Robin, who was was taking her kids ice skating, and she was with two other moms, and the kids were quite good at it, and the moms decided to go out there, and Robin said she'd look like a little foal on ice. You know, she was skidding all over the place, and this other mom went out there and just executed this perfect turn. And she said, "How in the world did you do that? Is this your first time on ice?" And she said, "Yes." But she had trained, this other mother had trained as a ballerina. And she said, "In dance, we learn how to find our center. And if you can find your center on ice or on land, you can find it on ice." And I thought that was a beautiful opening for poise, because when we are not poised, we're off center and we're off balance. And Jesus came finding common ground with us, and I write in the book that he could have come wearing the rings of Saturn as a halo and,
right,
you know, having marble feet and all sorts of things, but then the people would have feared him and been in awe of him. But really what he wanted was to sit down and break bread and share some wine and maybe put a Band-Aid on a little girl's hand. So Jesus is God's attempt to find common ground with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I talk also in the book about going to the Simon Wiesenthal Holocaust Museum, and there's an exercise where these figures pop up and you're supposed to immediately identify what makes them different: size, race, color, sex, very obvious. But then you're given 10 seconds to find out what they have in common. and it takes longer, and most of the people, they get tired of it. They don't want to put that kind of thought into it, so they walk away.
And forget
about it. So I thought it would be appropriate in this, you know, as we talk about holiness and Christ finding common ground, to talk about the bar fight that I got into at the Cheesecake Factory.
Come on, Lord.
You see any bruises?
I thought it was makeup.
Yeah, makeup. The makeup covers it. Well, Shelley and I were actually having a business lunch there the other day, and I don't know about you, but doesn't it annoy you when people talk on the cell phone really loudly?
Totally annoying.
Totally annoying. We all agree that's annoying.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Well, this guy had been on his cell phone for about an hour, and he was talking in Spanish, and I kept thinking, so his girlfriend got up and left, and I kept thinking, well, now he'll get off the phone. But, oh, no, he picked it up and started in. So finally, I just looked over at him, and I cupped my hand behind my ear, and I shrugged my shoulders, and I just went, you know, can you be quiet? I didn't say it, but I gave, like, sign language. He came unglued. He practically stood up from the chair, and he said, are you talking to me like I'm a peasant? I am not a peasant. I am a lieutenant in the police force. And I was shocked because he was clearly incensed, and he said, you think just because I'm speaking Spanish I'm a peasant? And I looked at him, and I said, I didn't. So I quietly signaled to the bartender to bring the manager over. And the manager came over, and he stood there watching for a little bit, and the guy kind of calmed down. And then when the manager left, he said, yeah, just because I'm talking Spanish, you think I don't belong in this country? And I decided not to engage him at that point because he was clearly incensed.
Right.
And Shelley decided... it's good to have a wingman at the bar. She decided to engage him, and she said, he said, you don't know who you're talking to. And Shelley looked at him and said, you don't know who you're talking to. And he said, well, you, she talked to me like I'm a peasant. Shelley said, I'm a peasant. And he said, you look like a peasant. And this is the intelligent conversation we're having at the bar in the Cheesecake Factory. And she said, yes, I am a peasant, and I remember where I came from. And he started to calm down. And then Shelley looked at him, and she said, she speaks Spanish. And his eyes got really wide, and I said, I said in Spanish, I'm from El Paso, Texas.
I hear your Spanish.
No, because Vicky's here. She's going to make me nervous. But I said, soy de El Paso, Texas. Yo entiendo todo que tú hablas por todas las horas. In other words, I have understood everything you have said for the whole hour. But so he kind of calmed down. But he said, well, I just thought you were like, you know, Cindy McCain or somebody, you know, Arizona doesn't want us. And it was just, I tried to reach out to shake his hand. He didn't want to shake my hand, but Shelley made peace with him by continuing to engage this police lieutenant who, heaven help anybody, he's got a short fuse. But the minute I started talking in Spanish to him, I was not just a blonde, blue-eyed gringo. It was, I was someone who had cared enough about his country and his language to learn the language. And it just spoke to me about the tensions, the racial tensions. And I know, Elisa, welcome.
Yeah,
you made it. We're glad you made it. She had an incident at school that was a similar situation with, I'm talking about the bar fight at the Cheesecake Factory, and where the mother started yelling, not all kids can be blonde and blue-eyed, and Elisa said, you know, we're treating all children the same. So there's a lot of tension right now, particularly in the Southwest, around border issues. We have forgotten what we have in common. And I think in Christianity, we forget the common touch that Jesus had and how he looked to engage with people, healing them, feeding them, loving them. I also went this last week to see the movie Agora, which was about Christianity overtaking Alexandria. And I thought, why aren't the churches talking about this? You know, this must be a good show. Oh, my goodness, the Christians were terrible. They were mutilating women and dragging them through the streets. And in the name of Christ, just they really ransacked the library. And it was just horrible. And they forgot what we have in common. And so it's a serious issue. It continues to be a serious issue. And we're talking about poise, so I just want to open it up for any questions or comments. We're glad that you made it poised through the traffic, as you as you were. So let's open it up.
So, Laura, you have a great comment here that you bring out on this principle of seeking common ground as a way to demonstrate poise. You know, I love that. As a fire, I don't always seek common ground or demonstrate poise, either one.
Yeah, okay.
But he sought... He sought common ground with people so that he could reach them and teach them and love them where they were. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That is a powerful statement. So he doesn't automatically rush in to fix or identify your problem or call out your sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think sometimes in leadership, we think our job is to call it out.
Especially us fires.
Speak to that. Speak to that just a little bit as a leader.
Well, we do like to call things out. You know, we wake up as fires thinking, who can we confront, purify, or refine today?
Yeah.
And if we haven't encountered anybody at work, we will encounter them in traffic or in the line at the post office or the grocery store. So when you think about Christ and his willingness to become flesh and find common ground with us, it's very humbling. And Shelley was a real lesson to me at the Cheesecake Bar Fight incident when he said, you're talking to me like I'm a peasant. And she said, I'm a peasant. So immediately it took it down to, well he didn't, it just, and then she said, I remember where I came from. So it really calmed the situation down by using his language, even though he was meaning it as an insult, she took it and just totally defanged it. And made it something, let's talk. And I think you said something about, and peasants have manners,
well,
as far as I know.
Peasants
know
how to respect each other.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
So I learned a humble lesson.
Well, speaking of the elements, obviously I was kind of go there, and speaking as a fire as well, and thinking in some of the other topics we've talked about just how each element kind of pursues its strengths and leverages its strengths and living out its mission or living out her mission. And so as a fire, it's not always the first thing to seek common ground, and waters perhaps seek common ground. And I wonder, where's the balance? Because I know when you talk about the elements, you talk about the challenges of the element. And one of the challenges of the water element might be seeking so much common ground that there's not forward progress.
Right.
Like, you know, you talk about sometimes you have to call the question. So when do you call the question versus seeking common ground, and what is the difference between, seeking so much common ground that you might lose your way in terms of, like, as a fire, we're always moving forward, or as a water, seeking so much common ground that there are no boundaries and one loses her identity.
Mm-hmm.
So can you speak to that a little bit?
Also, within the principle that we're talking about here, poise, I think we have to wrap it inside that principle, because we're talking about the Omega Leader principles here. And this is one of the ways that poise, that Jesus demonstrated poise as a leader, is seeking common ground. So inside that container, Lori, elementally, yes.
Well, as I've been working on this leadership piece for the Methodist denomination, the notion of transformation takes place when opposite elements encounter one another. So I was thinking, okay, water encountering fire. When Jesus saw the guy at the pool who was crippled and said, nobody stir in the water for me, and, you know, he was kind of in a victim state of mind, Jesus engaged him relationally and said, do you want to be healed? In other words, let's have a conversation about this. I want to see what your emotions are about this. So he engaged him at the heart level, and then he said, get up and walk. Now, if a fire would have walked up and said, get up off your doofus and walk, and it would not have been as effective. So
he wouldn't have gotten up and walked.
Exactly. He would have just retreated or evaporated or whatever. So you have to establish a trust level and a credibility and a respect, and then you can begin to direct the people. But if you just come in guns blazing, then you're not going to have the common ground on which to build anything except fear.
I am. There had a pastor who often spoke of the importance to giving up the right to be right. And I think this kind of fits a little bit into that category, is that when you're seeking that common ground, especially the fire, it's giving up that right to be right and seeking enough common ground in order to continue the dialogue. I had a conversation with a teacher today who frustration was evident in her interaction with a student, inappropriately evident. And it certainly, I could have had the right as her boss to say, that was wrong, and you can't do that. But that wouldn't have been the conversation that it would have moved her forward. I had to start the conversation of seeking that common ground. I could tell you were really frustrated by that, Chad. I could tell you were really frustrated by that situation. Establish that common ground. Now, what can we do to move forward in order to remedy the situation?
So was that a great example of poise right there as a leader?
I think so, it was. Mm-hmm. I needed to be poised and ready. I couldn't get sucked into a dialogue. It's not unlike the man at the pool, is that I certainly could have said, stop doing that. You can't do that. But it wouldn't have been a learning experience for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to have the poise to seek the common ground, to exercise restraint in terms of exerting power versus stimulating the dialogue in order to resolve the situation and move her forward.
So can there be poise outside of, can you seek common ground without poise? Is that possible?
I think it all goes to motive. I think it goes back to maybe talking about the waters, and it's certainly not me to harp on the poor waters, which are not too much representation at this table of water.
Where are the waters looking
at? Exactly.
Vicky's being treated like a water. She's raising her hand. Fire seems to have in the microphone.
I think it goes back to how you couched it, Shelley. It's about leadership. You know, and so you can certainly seek common ground, but if it's not about, if you're not poising yourself as a leader and you're not poising yourself to take action and lead, then all you're doing is seeking common ground. To what end?
Mm-hmm. To be liked.
To be liked or to enable.
Yes.
You know, and that's certainly not going to be beneficial.
Vicky,
did you want to say something?
So when I was looking at the word poise, and it was kind of interesting because I thought it was similar to poison, right? And in Spanish it's centrado.
Say it again?
Centrado, or center, right? So that's what it means. But it was until I kind of got the word in Spanish that I really grasped what does it take for you to find a common ground. If you are not centered, it's very easy to take you off balance by the reactions of others. And, Jesus, I mean, he came from a completely different environment, I mean, heaven, right? No pollution, no sin, no bad things.
No tears.
And he came and he seek for common ground. And I'm sure if you're accustomed to certain kind of level of, say, lifestyle, clean environment and all that, you walk into an environment that is not like that, and, it's not fun, right? And how difficult could be for a person to
lose their balance.
To lose the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Especially if you are you mentioned in your book that the person at the ghetto, and she was able to, invite people to have coffee, and some of them were prostitutes. And she started relating to them at a different level instead of being afraid of them. So I was trying to put myself in the shoes of which environment do I think I will be more prone to not be centered. And I think violence, an environment that has violence, will be the most difficult for me. I don't know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a very hard experience for me to look for a common ground, right?
Interesting. You stumped us all, Vicky, with that question.
Well, I'm thinking of a scene that was replayed over and over on ESPN about some baseball player charged the mound because of a pitcher, and then they show it in slow motion. I always think of Vicky when I see things in slow motion because she does her life in slow motion when she draws cartoons about it. And those guys, they looked so dumb. I mean, they couldn't land a punch. One of them was flinging this one, and then someone says, hey, I'm going to jump on too. And it just, if they replayed it and looked at it, they would be so embarrassed for two reasons. One, because they never hit the target. You know, they were playing it all over. And two, that they just acted like animals. So maybe one way to stay centered is to picture how you're going to look in slow motion when you do something or when it's replayed back to you. Yes. So, Shelley, you look like you're about to say something intelligent or ask something.
Well, not really. I had a thought also that you've shared in this section about seeking common ground is that that clearly the way that others recognize that we are disciples is through love, through demonstrating that, and that's another way to seek common ground. Easier said than done, though. Talk to us a little bit about some examples that Jesus demonstrated that that maybe would have gone against the centering that Vicki's talking about.
Well, I'm thinking of when he was beaten and he said not a word. You know, now that's to me being centered and that poise of he never yelled at his attackers. He just stayed centered in who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And he, so the ultimate centering is with your relationship in God, because people are going to throw you off all the time. In one of my books I talk about, he did not lean on reeds. Whenever we lean on people, we're going to be leaning on reeds. Because they're going to let you down. Even Peter, I'll never forsake you. And then at one point he said, get behind me, Satan. So he was always aware that people, it says he didn't need anybody to tell him what was in the heart of man. He knew what was in it. But he stayed centered and he still loved them. And thinking personally, this weekend I helped co-host two 13-year-old boys for the weekend, and I'm thinking, what do I have in common with 13-year-old boys? And it was like, oh, this is going to be, you know, and they came in, hey, dude, you know, with their text phones, and I couldn't wait to really get away from them. And then I decided, I'm going to look at them and just really be interested in them. Forget common ground. You know, I'm 57. They think I'm over the hill. There's nothing they want to learn from me. So at lunchtime, I just started asking them about themselves and got the biggest kick out of talking to them, and they had really funny things to say. Of course, I asked them, you know, where do you see yourself when you grow up? And then they said expert, you know, that's all they wanted to be. Totally awesome. But one of them was talking about his girlfriend, and he said, you know, he's a water. And he said, She's not the smartest girl, but I like that she gets along with my friends. And so his buddy said, let me put it this way. She's not the brightest crayon in the box, but she's his favorite color. And I thought, that kid is pretty smart. And then he pulled out some art that he had done. And, of course, my family's full of artists. So we had a lot in common. But the way I got there was not comparing our age or our geographic or any race or anything like that. It was being interested in the other person.
That's it right there. From a leader's perspective, if we're talking about these principles as leadership characteristics, when Jesus sought out a person, it was to find that commonality, not to draw out what was negative or impulsive or repulsive about that person. Mm-hmm. You know, that is really, really what I think tonight's discussion in this series is about. You know, obviously, the title is Seeking Common Ground. But that is just so profound. If we just did that one thing in this whole country.
What, seeking common ground?
Seeking or identifying that peace, right? You know, not looking at you as a
different race or, you know, from another world or, you know, different ages like you've just demonstrated, but really, and I think you said it early on in the show, you know, Jesus looked at that person and really to see what do we have in common.
Powerful.
I think it's about building relationship. Leadership ultimately is relationship. And you move people forward toward a mission, toward an objective through trust and respect that's established the relationship. And I think the establishing of the common ground is how you establish that relationship, especially, and I think what Lori's describing with the boys is sometimes it takes us stepping out of our comfort zone, especially as leaders. That's what we're called to do. I had an uncomfortable conversation with one of my superiors, and there's been some communication breakdowns and things like that, and I kind of confronted him because he was not seeking common ground, and he was not looking at it from the perspective of his subordinates, from his followers, from his team. He is so just focused on where he needs to go and on the details that it doesn't occur to him to establish that common ground. There's no rapport. There's no relationship. Therefore, there's no communication. Therefore, there's no progress. So I think that common ground is the first step to establishing that relationship that makes leadership possible, because leadership involves leading someone a direction or an organization a direction or toward a mission or toward a path.
Yeah, and also that reminds me in negotiation, one of the basic principles in negotiation is try not to speak first. So try to ask all the questions and let the other person get as much information as possible, find out what do they want, what would be great. You will feel that this negotiation was a success if that, and let them fill the blank and all that. Just by doing that, well, it serves different purposes, right? But the first one is to look for that common ground. So when the other person tells you everything that they want or they need to get out of that conversation, that deal, or whatever, then you can see, okay, well, these things I cannot give as easily, but these others, yes. So you can start with the points that are easier to give and just start walking towards the center and find the common grounds.
I think the poise is in the poise is in the leadership, because the poise, the difference between being boundaryless and having common ground to no end and being a leader and establishing common ground, it goes to the purpose. It goes towards the mission. It goes, where are we trying to take this? And that's where the poise is. You are poised to take action, as you define it in the book.
Okay, call the question. You got 1 minute. One thing as a leader that you do to show poise and create common ground, quickly, and then, Lori, you can close us off.
I like to ask people just personal questions, like where are they from, just establish the human connection.
Ask questions and listen.
I look at people in their left eye. Helps me focus on them, and I try to ask myself, what unique love of God is in this person? This is a sculpture, a one-of-a-kind sculpture by my favorite artist, and I have the privilege of being in front of this person right now. God, show me the art in them. Show me the artistry. Show me your heart in them. So sometimes ground is you can triangulate to the Creator. If you can't find it in the person on a direct, lateral, horizontal, go to triangulate, go to the top, and then come back down on the other side of the triangle. So, yes, what did God see in that person? So finding common ground and poise, I'm thinking of the lessons that many of us had walking with the book on our heads to try to have good posture. My grandmother would always slap us on the back and say, stand up tall. She was 4'11", and my sister and I are 5'10", 5'9". She said, be proud that you're tall. Poise is posture. What's your posture in the world? Are you proud that God loves you? Are you grateful that God loves you? And are you willing to see that God can love someone else? So common ground. I invite you, wonderful listeners, to find common ground with your neighbor. It could be language. It could be where they came from. It could be that you both speak Spanish in a border city. Blessings to you all. Thank you, Shelley, for hosting the show and moderating once again. Good night.